Thank you, Sister Sweetheart. And again, welcome to Valley Brook. Just before we kick off this morning's message, just wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, after our message today, we're going to have care through prayer, and then we're going to have a worship offering from our beloved sister, Beth. So stay tuned for that. I also want to mention to you this morning our partial regathering plan. And what we are doing right now is exploring what that might look like for us as we move further into sort of moving back to where we can at least gather in part. And so I want to mention several features of what we are considering. The first thing is that, you know, we're not changing anything that we're presently doing. So if you just want to stay pat with exactly what you've been doing since March, that option will still be available to you. We're going to continue to stream just as we are. And what we're doing is not taking something away. We're moving forward by adding an option. Secondly, we're going to do this gradually and cautiously. We're not going to just rush into things. We're going to do it in accordance with the guidelines and with the recommendations of state and national health authorities, which includes, of course, the regular things that we've all heard: social distancing, masks, sanitizing, temperature checks, all of those things. Thirdly, we're just going to use 10 volunteers to start this off, to begin this exploration. And these 10 volunteers will attend next Sunday. And the purpose of them attending next Sunday is for us to make any adjustments and any assessments to make sure that our process is airtight and that it does what we want it to do before we move into the next step. So here's what you can do if you want to be a volunteer. Tomorrow, not today, not during the message, not anytime today, because anything that is submitted today is considered a non-submittal. So, but tomorrow, if you want to be one of the volunteers, you can send an email to our church address, which is vbcc@valleybrook.church. vbcc@valleybrook.church. And the first 10 volunteers that we receive, we're going to select them according to the time that we receive it. So the first 10 that we receive, those will be our volunteers for next Sunday. And then what we're going to do, if that works out and as we move forward, we're going to gradually go through the alphabet so everyone has an opportunity to be a part of the gathering, if you would like to be. But if you don't want to be, again, you can stay right where you are and continue to enjoy our services remotely as we have been doing since March. We're going to eventually perhaps use a pre-registration app that will allow us to monitor the number of people coming in and the order and everything. But don't worry about all of that. We'll be sending an email out regarding all of this, and we'll also have this information on our website going forward. So, here we go with this morning's message. God bless you, and I'm excited to be here with you, and I'm excited to share this particular message as we continue our series and our journey through the human experience in this month of October. So, today's message is titled, Trust in the Lord with All Your Heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And our text, predictably, for those of you who are familiar with that phrase, our text is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I'd like you to turn there with me, if you will. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And And the word of the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your paths. This verse is a highly esteemed member of the Scripture Hall of Fame. No doubt if I asked for a show of hands, many of you would say it's your favorite verse, or it was my mother's favorite verse, or my dad's favorite verse. Praise the Lord for the Scriptures. I was rejoicing this morning thinking about how the Scriptures are a treasure chest of inspirational truths. And this one, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, is among the most beloved and certainly in this time, the most relevant. Why? Why does the mere reading of this verse? I'm sure when I read that verse that many of you out there listening just thought, amen. Why is it that the mere reading of this verse, even without any further explanation, without any exposition on it, without even delving into any more of the details, why is it that this particular verse resonates with our souls just in the hearing of it? Why is that? I think it's because even though when we're preteens and teens and when we're in our 20s, we think we're invincible, and we think we're all wise, and we think we know how to make it happen, and we think that we're in control. When 30 comes calling, we have a better appreciation for reality. And reality is often complicated. Reality is often confusing. Reality is often chaotic. Our choices are not as cut and dried as we once thought they were. They're not as black and white as we thought they were. Instead of being cut and dried, we find that there's a whole lot of stringy pulp connected when we cut. Instead of black and white, we discover that there's a whole lot more gray in our choices than we formerly thought. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Those phrases resonate with our souls because they reflect reality. We need something bigger than ourselves. We need something greater than our own wisdom. We need something greater than our own strength. We need an assurance that is beyond that which is generated by our own competence. Because deep down inside, we know that it's shaky at best, even at its best. So phrase by phrase, what I want to do is take a closer look at this blessing from above called Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The text is the main idea. If you want to know what is the main idea, the text is it. We don't need to have another main idea. That speaks for itself. But let's look at these phrases that are embedded in this beloved passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is the first one. When it comes to trusting in the Lord, the blessing is not just in what we receive as a result of trusting. The blessing is not just that we trust God and he gives us something, or the blessing comes when we see what God has done for us as a result of our request. Some of the richest blessings that God gives us are in the trusting itself. In the trusting itself, before anything is resolved, before any result is given, some of the richest blessings that God gives us are in the trusting itself. And that excites me because I don't have to wait until it's fixed to be blessed. I don't have to wait until I get it to be blessed. I don't have to wait until it's resolved before I can rejoice and genuinely appreciate the blessing of the Lord. Here's an example. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Let me just read this to you, and you'll see what I mean. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But, by contrast, hallelujah, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Or one translation says, and whose trust is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. Always green. My Lord, what a promise this is. What a promise this is for me. Trusting the Lord, you know, brothers and sisters, trusting the Lord for a particular outcome. Let me just say this as a disclaimer. Trusting the Lord for an outcome is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing to do. It is something that God invites us to do. To trust him for anything that we would like to see happen that's presently not happening. To trust him for anything that we want that we presently don't have. There's no harm in asking. You have not because you ask not. It's a good thing to ask the Lord for a particular outcome or for a particular result. But let me say this. Trusting in the Lord is an even better place to be. Trusting the Lord for something, great. But trusting in the Lord, much better, much better. A wonderful blessing. And put the two together and you've got an incredible blessing. But see, here's the limitation of trusting the Lord for stuff. The limitation for trusting the Lord for outcomes is that it focuses us on what is happening externally. And we feel a sense of waiting and pending results. We're waiting for the Lord to do that thing, and it focuses us on the external result, sort of delaying in some ways our rejoicing. We're waiting on the Lord to do that thing so we can rejoice because we're trusting him for something. And many times after the Lord does that, we say, God is faithful, and he has been by doing that. But boy, there's something bigger than just waiting for the outcome. Trusting in the Lord himself, on the other hand. Trusting the Lord for something is one thing. Trusting in the Lord is something else. Trusting in the Lord himself focuses us on his character. It focuses us on his attributes, regardless of any particular outcome. And the result of that trust is, what does it say here? You'll have no fear when the heat comes. I like that. Didn't say if the heat comes. When the heat comes. Brothers and sisters, the heat is coming. And many of us, all of us can say, amen, the heat is on. Right now, in this particular time frame that we're living in, the heat is on. In every area, the heat is on. Economically, the heat is on. Health-wise, the heat is on. Politically, the heat is on. Racially, the heat is on. Thank you, Jesus. That this promise says there will be no fear when the heat comes for the one who is trusting in the Lord. You know, some of us got together yesterday and we're talking about a movie that we saw. And one of the big takeaways for me in this movie was how people can be so dedicated to something that they really want to see happen, dedicated to their dreams, dedicated to their goals, dedicated to their jobs, their occupations, their vocations, dedicated to stuff. And the stuff that they're willing to do to get there is, to me, inspiring. I was listening to LeBron James talking about what he was going to do after they won this game. He wasn't going to get any sleep. He was going to get 24-hour treatment. He was going to just be completely absorbed in the goal of winning a championship. And I find that inspiring. You know what's inspiring about it? Is if they can do that for something that's temporal, if they can do that for something that's here today and gone tomorrow, trusting in the Lord is something we can give ourselves to with that same dedication, and the payoff is so much greater. I mean, when we think about the effort that sometimes, and faith and trust is an effort sometimes. It is. But the payoff, look at what it says happens when you do it. Many of us just sort of give a half effort towards trusting in the Lord, and then we're done. But fighting the fight of faith means that there's effort involved sometimes. But the effort is worth it, and it's the right effort. It's not an effort of trying to be, you know, the best Christian you could ever be. That's not the effort. The effort is not trying to just, you know, get rid of all of your bad habits and stuff. That's okay too, but the effort of trusting in the Lord is where it's at. Trusting in Him. Trusting in His character. Trusting in His attributes. Because the scripture says there'll be no fear when the heat comes. You must have, many of you had a chance, I should say, to read the View from My Place this Wednesday. I want to remind you of those words for those of you who read it. And for those of you who didn't, I want to share them with you now because they fit into this context of trusting in the Lord. I wrote, I'm a firm believer in celebrating the joy of living. I really am. I'm a firm believer in celebrating the joy of living. That's my general comportment. That's my general disposition. I'm always looking for things to celebrate because there is. And life is too short to be walking around like you're sucking lemons. I am a firm believer in finding something to celebrate. My grandson, when he gets up in the morning, I say, it's a celebration, a major celebration. And we throw our hands up in the air. I just believe that celebration is a wonderful gift that God has given us. And we've got all kinds of reasons to celebrate. But I'm a firm believer in celebrating the joy of living. My wife marvels at all my little annual commemorations and my celebrations and my little trinkets and my little tokens that I have around that help me to commemorate special events or special occasions or special moments with the Lord when He made something clear to me. I mean, beyond birthdays, beyond holidays and anniversaries, I'm celebrating. I also believe everybody suffers. No exemptions, no exceptions. Ask anybody. They've suffered. Ask any unbeliever or believer. Ask yourself. We've all suffered, and we're all going to suffer. Jesus said it. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. We're all going to suffer. I don't understand why. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why God set it up or why this happened, why this bad thing happened to these good people. I used to think I knew. I used to have an answer when I was in my 20s. But by the time 30 came around, I began to realize that my answers were not as cut and dried or as black and white as I once thought they were. There's a lot of gray and there's a lot of stringy pulp. I don't know why certain things happen to people. And whenever I am challenged to think that I know, I remember that terrible, tragic incident where a woman and two parents lost their child at Disney World to an alligator. The alligator just, you remember the incident. He just came up and snatched their son. What was he, 2, 3, 4, something like that? 2 years old, something? The dad was trying to pry the jaws of the alligator open to get his son free and was not able. That is the most horrific thing that I can think. I can't think of anything that would be more horrifying, more derailing of any faith that I had in something like that. So I'm not one of these pastors that goes around and thinks he has an answer for everything. I don't. I don't know why suffering happens in some instances. And I've never heard an explanation from any other pastor that completely satisfies that. And I'm sure you haven't either. We know certain things about God, but we don't know why certain things happen. So everybody suffers, and I don't understand why. So I'm not even going to attempt an explanation. But here's what I believe. And what I have experienced, God is not offering us answers for our suffering. Sometimes he shows us stuff, but that's not the promise. He's not offering us answers for our suffering, but he is offering redemption of our sufferings. That means he's going to do something with them. He promises to irrigate the rivers of adversity and grief and confusion and anxiety and all of those things that feel bad and that are worrisome to our spirits as human beings, devastating to us at times. He promises to irrigate the rivers of adversity and grief to create a well-watered garden that bears unexpected, supernatural, life-giving fruit. That's what he promises. Furthermore, he promises to use suffering to bless us with the fulfillment of the purposes for which we were created. Those are the promises. I'm going to navigate this so that your life is a well-watered garden and that you are accomplishing the purposes for which you were created. And along with that, I am going to, if we trust him, I am going to build a relationship with you through that process that you wouldn't believe was possible if you trust me, if you trust in me with all your heart. Our choice is not between suffering and not suffering. That's not the choice. Say, I don't want to play, God. I don't want to play. The choice is not suffering or not suffering. Life itself produces suffering. The choice before each of us is whether we will trust God, whether we will trust God to use the suffering to enrich the life we have, or whether we will consider suffering to be random and meaningless. The former, trusting the Lord to use it to enrich our lives, bears the fruit of hope and security, even in the midst of suffering. The latter, thinking it's random or meaningless, yields the thistles of fear, anxiety, and desperation. And in my view, from where I'm sitting, the better choice is clear. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And it says, not only will the heat comes, it says, the leaves will always be green. There will be no worries, and you will never fail to bear fruit. So thank you, Lord, for inviting us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And the second thing it says is, lean not on your own understanding. I like what Psalm 14:1 says. It says, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. Very simply, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. And, you know, what I like about this lean not on your understanding is that it doesn't forbid us using our understanding. It doesn't say don't use your understanding. It says don't lean on it. The admonition is don't lean on it. Don't rely on it as the ultimate source of your security. Make your decisions, but don't lean on your understanding as though it is the ultimate source of security. See, our life responsibilities, just by virtue of being a husband, a wife, or just living, a parent, our responsibilities require us to be mentally engaged. They just do, as a human being, and to use our best judgment and our wisest decision making. Ultimately, we have to choose. We have to. So he's not saying don't use your mind. He's not saying don't make decisions or have goals or any of that. What he's talking about is, where's your faith? Where's your trust? What are you relying upon? Don't rely upon your own understanding as though you can figure it out. I like what Proverbs 28:26 says. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So there's two kinds of fools here. You know, in Psalm 14, it says the fool says in his heart, there's no God. That's one kind of foolishness. Then there's another kind of foolishness. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. The Lord's wisdom, leaning on his truth as the ultimate source of truth, of what is true. And then the next thing it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. More literally, and I thought this was interesting, more literally, in all your ways know him. That's the literal translation of it. In fact, 640 times out of the roughly 800 times this word is translated in the Old Testament, it is translated know. In all your ways, know him. Know him. Isn't that great? As you are contemplating your life movements and choices, know him. In all your ways, be conscious of him. In all your ways, know what he is like. In all your ways, know what he would like. In all your ways, know that he is. In all your ways, know that the living God, that the creator of heaven and earth, is with you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the knowing may elicit a prayer. The knowing may elicit a praise. The knowing may elicit a thank you. But what it's referring to here is, this is an invitation to more than just pray about it. Usually when we look at it, all your ways acknowledge him, we think pray about everything. Well, sure, it includes that, but it's more than that. It's more than just, you know, going to the Lord and praying about it. It's in all of your ways, in everything you're doing, wherever you're going, whatever you're involved in, know him. Know that he is with you. Be conscious of him. And whatever that precipitates in you is what he wants you to give. Whatever that precipitates. Like I said, it could be a prayer, it could be a praise, it could be a statement. Lord, what is this? In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, this is an exhortation to awareness. It's another way of looking at it. And the blessing is this, that under the new covenant, see, this is under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, God has placed his spirit inside of us to help us with this awareness. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to facilitate this awareness and give us this experiential knowledge of him, to know him. That's why he placed the Spirit inside of us. So the New Testament parallel to this verse is to be tuned to the Spirit. Be attuned to the Spirit is a way it would be said under the New Covenant. Be attuned to the Spirit. Be aware of the Spirit's presence in your life. Be aware of the Spirit's movement in your life. Be aware of the Spirit's prompting in your life. Jesus said part of the Spirit's job description is to take from what is mine. He says, this is John 16:15. Part of the Spirit's job is to take from what is mine, says Jesus, and make it known to you. That's what the Spirit's job is, to take from what is his and to make it known to us. In other words, to help us to know him. To help us to know him, just as Proverbs is saying. So it's a tremendous blessing that God has given us to facilitate this part of the verse there in Proverbs, of acknowledging him or of knowing him. So nothing is too small of a matter to discuss or consider with him. Nothing. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What an invitation. I don't want to bother the Lord with that trivial stuff. In all your ways. It's a small thing, God, or it's a small thing. And God says, in all your ways, know that I am. Know who I am. Know that I am with you. Know me in all ways. Be conscious of me. Be aware of me. Don't just spend your time in the morning with me and then launch off into your life as though it's all on you after that. In all your ways. And it doesn't mean you have to break out of your staff meeting or hop off of Zoom and go have a quiet time in the bathroom or go downstairs and have a quiet time in the basement or take a walk. It just means in the course of your living, in all your ways, be conscious, be aware that I am, that he is, and that nothing is too small a matter to discuss or consider with him. Our default mode is to try to figure it out, the small stuff. But this is an invitation to include the Lord. Now, it's not a requirement, but it wouldn't hurt. Certainly wouldn't hurt. I told the Lord, here's some snippets from sort of my knowledge of him, my knowing him as I've lived my week this past week. By faith, Lord, I'm believing that the relationship I have with you that awaits me tomorrow will be richer than the one I'm enjoying today. I believe that. As we grow in our relationship with him, he wants to bless us with a greater knowledge of himself. He wants to bless us with a greater knowing. I said, I want to glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That's a verse in in Philippians, we are the true circumcision, glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. As I am aware of the Lord's attentiveness, as I am aware of the Lord's presence with me, I say to him, Lord, that's what I want. I want to glory in you. I want to genuinely believe that all that I am and all that I have comes from you. Bless me with that. I don't see it as a big commandment, Lord. I see it as an invitation. Bless me with that. Glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. I want that because if I really believe that you are doing it, if I really believe that you're the one who's producing it, you're the one who did produce it, if I'm really believing that, Lord, then I no longer feel the pressure to produce it myself. So it's a blessing to glory in Christ Jesus, to be in a state of mind where that is a genuine truth to me, that I glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. At the end of my time with the Lord, I said, Lord, even though my dedicated time here in the morning, even though that's kind of coming to a close, my heart remains open to you all day. I have to end this time, but my heart remains open. And I want to know you throughout the day. I want to acknowledge you. I want to be aware of you. I want to be sensitive to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. I want you integrated into the full spectrum of my day. From sunrise to sunset and the night that follows. I was aware the other day of the Lord just giving me a real confident spirit as I was praying about something that was really familiar. Sometimes you have requests that are really familiar. And after a while, they just kind of become requests that you just kind of keep on praying. But I was aware of the Lord blessing me with a freshness to this request, even though it was familiar. Small thing. But I was aware of it, and I was thanking him for making me aware of that, because that to me was a manifestation of his presence with me. Doesn't matter how big it is, it's the manifestation itself that is the blessing. And this is what Proverbs is saying when it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Know that he is. Be aware of him. Be conscious of him. And respond to him. You see it? Say it. Just engage him throughout the day. And it says, and he will make your path straight. Now the promise is to make our path straight, or to direct our path, the King James says. Not necessarily to reveal the path beforehand. Sometimes you make choices in the blind. Sometimes, again, it's not black or white, it's gray. And you step out and you make a choice, but it doesn't feel exactly solid. It's the best you can do. You know what I'm saying? It's the best you can do, and it's your best judgment. But there's some shaky stuff to it, because it's not black and white. The promise is that the Lord will make our paths straight. He will make them straight. He will direct them. He'll direct the path. Not necessarily us. He'll direct your path. So whatever you choose, he will direct it. I've often said it's like the shell in the pea game sometimes trying to make choices. You know, you don't know which shell the pea is under. It feels like that. Oh, man, if I choose, is it here? Is it there? Is it here? What I like is that the Lord has the ability to either tell me beforehand which shell the pea is under, or he can put the pea under whichever shell I lift.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, that you have the ability to direct my path. Sometimes he makes the choice clear, but the promise is whether it's clear or not, he's going to direct the path you choose. He's the one who wastes nothing, as my wife says, and who can use anything to fashion wonderful things and effects for us. And you know what? This climate, this pandemic, and all the stuff, the national upheaval, all of this stuff, it's nothing to him. You know, the verse didn't say he'll direct your paths as long as there's no pandemic. As long as the country is stable, he'll direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In the Lord. Know him. Know who he is. Don't get caught up in all the details of what is. Know who he is. It says he will make your path straight. He'll direct your path. I like what Brian Davis was saying. We were talking yesterday. He was talking about how he likes to play the keyboards. And he likes to just mess around on it and see where the notes are going to wind up and how they're going to turn out. And I said, Brian, what if we could look at our lives that way and see that, you know, the notes that are coming out of our lives, the various circumstances and situations, the various spiritual moods that we're in and our disposition at times, whether it's up or down, whether it's sunny or rainy, whether we're in the fog, as I wrote earlier this week, or whether we're in the sunshine, what if we could look at all of the events of our lives as notes? And they sound random to us, but the Lord is composing each one to create a melody of wonder and magnificence. That when we replay it a year from now, maybe tomorrow, maybe 2 years, 10 years, maybe in eternity. But when it's replayed, it's beautiful, beautiful music. The dissonance of the notes at one portion of the score may be irritating, but in combination with the rest of the piece, what a beautiful thing. The Lord is using all the notes. And they may seem random and they may be unpredictable, but he knows exactly what he is composing. I was thinking, you know, if someone was just looking at my relationship with the Lord today and how I talk about Jesus today, if they were looking at that, they would most likely never guess or never put together the odd assortment of elements that have formed the relationship that I have with Jesus today. And every one of you can say the same thing. If you're listening to me, the Lord has continued to nurture your faith. If you're listening to me, the Lord has continued to revive you. The Lord has continued to restore you. The Lord has continued to refresh you. The Lord has continued to reassure you. If you are listening to me this morning, the Lord has done a marvelous thing in your life. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come, if you're not in your 20s yet, or your teens. Some teenagers and some 20-year-olds can see that. But by and large, you got to hit 30. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. Don't make no sense if you're 2 years old singing through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Even though that may be true. Being born is a miracle. But if you're listening to me, the vast majority of you can say, God's been faithful to me. And nobody would guess that I would be sitting here with my Bible, listening to the pastor speaking, given what I've been through. That's his faithfulness. That's him directing your path. That's him supplying what you need for the next step in your journey. That's him. And he's never going to stop doing that. So we can rejoice. You know, and my most consistent and fervent prayer is, Lord, I want you to direct my paths. Direct my paths to all of those knowing you passages in the scripture. Where David says in Psalm 27, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I will seek. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. All those verses that talk about how magnificent you are, all those verses that talk about the preeminence of a relationship with you. The verse in Jeremiah 17 that talks about, if I trust in the Lord, all those blessings will be mine by trusting. So, Lord, my fervent prayer is that you would direct my paths to a greater trust in you. Do that, Lord. Do that. Sign me up. Send a car for me. And transport me to that place. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge, know him, and he will make your path straight. No matter what stuff is in the road right now, no matter what it looks like down the road, no, even if it looks like it's a dead end, it's never a dead end with him. The path is not a dead end with him. And I could say more, but we're going to have care through prayer now. And we're going to pray for you and with you. And we'd like you to join us. And afterwards, we're going to have Beth do a worship number for us. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up here and join me. And I'm going to ask you to just pray for the families, if you would. And I will pray for just the Lord to embed this in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for offering us the opportunity to trust you.
Thank you, Lord.
For offering us the blessing of trusting in you. Lord, perhaps our orientation towards that verse and towards others is one of where it's a commandment And I won't argue, Lord, with those who would say that it's a commandment, but Lord, I see it as an invitation, as a blessing that you're inviting us to. Mm-hmm. Lord, it's not easy to trust you. Mm. Lord, it is not easy to trust you when we're outside of the security and outside of the cocoon of our fellowship with one another. The minute that we step outside of just the warm environment of your people, of your truth, of your word, of our personal devotional times, when we turn off the worship music, pull out the earbuds and have to go into the office or have to tune into our Zoom calls and start dealing with business, when we get news, Lord, that is seemingly catastrophic, when we get news that is unsettling and just tempestuous, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It is a fight. Yes, ma'am. But Lord, it is a blessing. It is a blessing when we are able by your grace to trust in you, because so many great things happen within us when our hearts are trusting in you. So I pray for my brothers and sisters who tuned in this morning. I pray for each one, Lord, that you would inspire them to greater trust in you. Lord, that they would not feel like it's up to them to make it happen, that they draw near to you and trust you to inspire them in whatever ways they need inspiration to move deeper into trust. Levi, remember a man in your word, Lord, who said, Lord, I do believe, help me in my unbelief, help me to move to a place of deeper trust than where I am. I've got it. I do trust. But help me in my unbelief. I know that there are deeper places you want to take me than where I am. And I pray for my brothers and sisters listening that you take them to a deeper place than where they are. Take me to a deeper place than where I am in my trust in you, particularly in these times.
Mm-hmm. Father, let me just say thank you, God, for there are no coincidences in your kingdom.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I walked up, my pastor and my husband said to me, he said, pray for the families. Lift up the families. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Lord, because you do not have consequences, agreed with my spirit, because 5:30 this morning when you awoke me, you said, pray for the children. Mm. Talk about the children. Mm. So, Father, I do want to lift up each and every family.
Yes.
And when I say children, Lord, they can be any age, from the littlest one to the oldest one, God. They're still our children. Yeah. I lift them up before you, God. They live in unprecedented times. Their time is different from our time.
Yes.
They live, Lord, where they're trying to identify their own sexuality. Mm. They're living in a time, Lord, where body image is always a problem for them, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
They're living at a time where the bully isn't just at school, but it goes home with them 24/7 because it's on their computer.
Mm. Jesus.
So, Father, they never get a break. They never get a break from the teasing and the picking on and the being left out and the being forgotten. They don't get to sit at the dinner table where your mom and your dad says, well, you're beautiful to me. They hear it, Lord, but at the same time, they're looking at their computer at the same time. And one can be stronger than the other.
Bless us, Lord.
So you, God, right now, God, I think that you who have all characteristics, both male and female, God. You have created both men and women. So you have both character, all characteristics. But right now, God, I say that our children need a father. They need a provider.
Yes, Jesus.
They need a protector.
Yes, Jesus.
These are these things that we look to our fathers for, God. Mm-hmm. And right now, we need you.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, some children don't have food security right now.
That's so true, Jesus.
Some children don't know where their education is going. Mom and dad have to go to work. Mm-hmm. They are homeless. They can't get to the school on their own. God, what about them? Mm-hmm. What about the children? And we live in a time, God, where even the highest in the land seems to call people names. Doesn't care that he calls people names, Lord, and says bullying, terrible, vicious things. So how are they supposed to internalize? How are they supposed to look up with respect to adults? When we're looking at an adult who will make fun of disabled people, God, we need a father. Mm-hmm. So, Father, I just ask, Father us.
Yes, Jesus.
Father our children. And when we need nourishments, mother us, God.
Yes, Jesus.
Then mother us. Take care of them, Lord. Yes. Help them get through this.
Yeah.
They're seeing more depression. They're having more suicidal thoughts. They're having situations, Lord, where they're just being attacked by the evil one on every side. But I know like I know who you are. With you, all things are indeed possible. So it's you we're looking to.
Yes, Jesus.
And we're looking in the right direction if we're looking at you, God.
Yeah.
Keep us focused.
Yes.
Father, and give us parents wisdom. We need your wisdom. You said it's a gift, God. We need that gift of wisdom. Because we need to know how to educate our children right now. We're at home trying to figure out how to do a lesson plan. Some of us are struggling with that one, Lord. Can you be there? And yet we know you are there. We're not alone. Give us the wisdom, the patience, the love, the kindness, the compassion, your passion, your wisdom. We look forward to it, God, because we know it's already done.
Yeah.
Because you love us. Yeah. It's these things I pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
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 And amen. And God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. It's been a pleasure being with you. And I will be praying for you. Please pray for me. Pray that the Lord would make the verses that we've looked at here together and the prayers that we've prayed realities in our hearts this week, that he would make that knowledge come to life, because he's the one that does that. He's the one that takes them from just being words on a page to living truth within us. So pray that for me, and I will pray that for you. Stay tuned for Beth. God bless you. Have a fabulous week. Bye now. Thank you, guys.